Some of you have been following a course called Practicing the Way. Would you raise your hand if you've been following the course, following Practicing the Way? Well, oh, quite a few. So that's good, so you can all help me, because I wasn't on the course. But in that course, there are a number of topics, and one of them is about prayer. And it's fallen to me to take this subject today. So I'm going to use the framework that is given by John Mark Comer, but I'm going to make it personal and give you a chance also to make it personal. Practicing the way. There are three great keys to following Jesus. Number one, to be with Jesus. Number two, to become like him. And number three, to do as he did. Be with Jesus. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. In Mark chapter 3 verse 14, it says that Jesus chose 12. And the first thing that it says is he chose them that they would be with him. And then from that they would go out and they would announce the good news, and they would heal the sick and raise the dead. I don't know if the end of your course, any of you were raising the dead? Not yet? Do you know there are some people who have prayed for dead people and brought them to life again? I haven't yet had that experience. I have prayed for a long time at the grave, or not at the grave, in the hospital bed of someone who had died, a relative, an in-law. And God didn't answer the prayers by raising them up. But all over the world, there are Christians who have such faith in God that when they pray for people who've died...
My sister-in-law has raised people from the dead.
Wonderful, yeah, yeah. Excellent, we can testify that we know of people, yeah. Mm. So become like him and do as he did. What's the goal for prayer? And I'm going to quote from John Mark. He says the goal isn't to get good at prayer. So it's not that we all become expert in forming wonderful words that inspire everybody when they hear them because they're so cleverly made. But to create new daily rhythms. Is anyone into rhythm? There are certain daily rhythms that he endorses, and ways of being that open us. So there are certain ways of doing can make us more open to what God might say and give us, to God's goodness in more profound ways. So let's look at that. The goal for prayer, it isn't to get good at prayer, but to create new daily rhythms. I have read the course book, so I'm not entirely behind you all. I know what it says. I bought the book and I've got it, and I've looked at the online course and gone through it as well. And there's a great emphasis, isn't there, on building habits, building rhythms into our lives, not doing one good thing once, but having a daily habit of doing things regularly. New daily rhythms and ways of being that open us to God's goodness in more profound ways. Who would like to be more open to God's goodness in more profound ways? Mark talks about four aspects of prayer. I wonder if you remember. Probably don't. I mean, I wouldn't unless I read it. Talking to God. Talking with God. Listening to God. And being with God. Does that ring a bell? Anyone? Talking to God, talking with God, in other words, enjoying the conversation. Listening to God, in other words, actually spending time not just talking, but seeing what God is saying. And then being with God, even if there are no words, just enjoying God's company. So the first one of those was talking to God. hello, God. Anyone say hello, God?
Sometimes I say good morning,
God. When I wake up in the morning, I say hello to God the Father. Say hello, dear Father. Hello, Lord Jesus. Hello, Holy Spirit. So I want to cover all bases. And they all work together and they all hear the prayer that we make to the other one of the two or the other two of the three. So it's all okay. But so how do we talk to God? Start small, he says. There's a verse in Zechariah that says, who has despised the day of small things? What does it mean, start small? It means that you don't have to do a marathon of prayer if you're not very accustomed to it. You can have a few minutes. A few minutes which can grow. I personally don't have the ability to sit down and do nothing but talk to God without falling asleep. Now, I've only been loving the Lord Jesus for 64 years, since I was three. But he's never given me the power to stay awake while I'm talking to him, sitting down and resting my head, or kneeling. Interesting. He's given that power to some Christians. So I have to find other ways of staying awake. So I can walk when I'm praying. And sometimes I get this message from God if I start talking to him, that, okay, you've said what you need to say, now get on and do what I've asked you to do. Which is often study, often Bible study, or preparing talks. Another thing that John Mark tells us, adjust your time, don't add. In other words, you haven't got to try and squeeze in extra prayer, but think of something that you spend a lot of time doing, like you might be watching television 3 hours a day. Well, what about cutting that down to 2 hours and 55 minutes and praying for 5 of those minutes instead? So it's not extra. That's a way of thinking about what's our priority in life. What are we spending most time on, and could we make an adjustment? And you get out what you put in. Computer people are very familiar, aren't they, with G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is what you get out. So the more effort and seriousness you put in with talking with God, the more benefit there is. Now there's a verse, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says, he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. That's a law of life. The more you sow, the more you reap. And the more you water what you sow, the more you reap. Create a habit. My father made us create habits. He made us have what we call a quiet time. Before we were allowed to have breakfast, we needed to have done our Bible reading and spend our time praying. So all my life I've done that. A lovely habit. The first thing in the day, before breakfast, is time with God. That's because I'm a morning person. Some of you may be night persons. But create a habit. Your best time, give your best time for praying, spending time with God. Where and when and how is up to you. Maybe a special place that makes you feel especially close to God, or a place where you remember God spoke to you before. Whatever it is, create the habit. You can use printed prayers. Christine read out some prayers from Psalms. Psalms, the Lord's Prayer, of course, you can read out from the Bible. So there's lots of things we can do that help. Habits. Steve Jobs, that many of you will have heard of, he made a lot of money from computers, I think. He said, in the first 30 years of your life, you make your habits. For the last 30 years of your life, your habits make you. So there's an interesting thought. What are your habits that are making you? What are your habits in terms of prayer, time with God? And express your personality. God loves your individuality. A psalm that says God takes pleasure in his people. God takes pleasure because each one of us is different. The way each one of us prays is different and expresses our uniqueness. Does anyone have any praying habits that they'd like to tell us? Time or a place or a way or something you do regularly? And it's so good to have an established habit because, yes, the break of a routine often destroys lots of good intentions, but to have something that's actually printed down or written down that you see as soon as you get back that reminds you to get started again is very helpful.
I learned it.
That's in your head. Or in your heart, even better. Yeah. So talking to God, this is different ways of talking to God. What about talking with God? And there's a lovely image there of someone chatting with a figure representing Jesus. Talking with God. Find an aid to transition, says the author of the book. Sometimes a different posture or a different place, lighting a candle, sitting down, starting to breathe more deeply, going for a walk, or certain kinds of music. The prophet Elisha, who was very good at prophesying and hearing from God, on one occasion in the Bible, he was asked his opinion about something, and he said, "Bring me a minstrel." A minstrel, a musician, a person who played a musical instrument. And when the minstrel started playing, Elisha started getting his message from God. So for some it's worship music. For me, I have, as you know, there's a book on the back, by the way, that you're welcome to buy, called Your Heart in Rhythm with God's. There's 6 copies left to buy there. Where I've actually trained, when I start to take a slow deep breath, I immediately start thinking about receiving God's love and receiving God's peace and God's presence into me. And for me, that's what could be called a transition. It's a physical thing that makes me think, yes, now I'm praying, now I'm receiving from God, now I'm connecting with God. Because it's a particularly good one to do because in the process you start increasing your oxygenation and you start reducing your levels of stress and tension and you start focusing on receiving from God. So that's my aid to transition. You may have all sorts of different ones. If you haven't got any, then just think about it. What might you choose that would help you to just be in that frame of mind that helps you to be more prayerful? Use your body. I talked about walking. Are there any postures anyone finds helpful for praying? Any different positions of your body, or your hands, or your feet, or your head? What helps?
Putting your hands up sometimes, declaring.
Yes, so hands up sometimes, yeah. And sometimes declaring or making that gesture. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anyone sometimes find that kneeling just seems to be most appropriate?
Mm-hmm. I'm in front of my couch, the arms are resting on the seat.
Yeah. Begin and end the day, or begin and end the time of prayer with gratitude. Asking God for something is a great way to get started. Sorry. Thanking God for something is a great way to get started. Something we're grateful for. You can wake up and you can think, thank you, Lord, that I'm still alive. Thank you that I've got a warm bed to wake up in. Thank you I've got a warm person next to me. Thank you that I didn't have to get up during the night. All sorts. You can use prayer cards. In my life at various times, I've had prayer lists. Where on a Monday I pray for a certain number of people, and Tuesday for certain people, and that helps. So you can use prayer cards. You can present a situation to God. Often things worry us, don't they? Well, that's an opportunity to talk to God about it. pray, a situation to God. Gratitude, by the way, coming back to that one. As I've told you many times, if you slow down your breathing, focus on your heart, and then think of something you're very grateful for, your heart starts to beat in a more healthy rhythm. That's what my book is all about. And your healthy rhythm helps your mind to be more calm, helps the two sides of the brain to work together, helps you to breathe better, makes everything better. So gratitude, it's a great, great benefit. And in fact, we can do that now. Just as you breathe in, just think of something you're really grateful to God for, or a person, or a situation, something that you're really grateful, really thankful to God for. And as you take a slow, steady breath in, this is not about over-breathing, it's not hyperventilating into a brown plastic bag. This is just enjoying a nice slow breath of breathing in God's love as we're so grateful to him for something. Talking with God. And there's two posh words that are mentioned, which is called petition, which is asking God for things for you. And there's intercession, which is asking God for things for other people. Actually, they're both much more complex than that, but that's one way of thinking about the difference. We can ask God for things, and we can ask him for other people to bless them. Talking with God. So it's a conversation. Conversation. And I find this slow breathing helps the conversation, because if I talk to God about something, ask him, then I can wait for the answer. Breathe in. Thank you, Lord, for your understanding. Thank you for your wisdom. I receive your peace in answer to this. I receive your love for that person who I find difficult to love. I receive your presence for the situation where I'm frustrated and I need to know that you're with me. So it gives time to have that sense of receiving from God. That's a conversation. You say something and you receive something. And sometimes you hear words, or sometimes you get an impression. Pray in tongues if you can. A great gift that God has given to many people, and he gives it to everybody who wants it, to be able to speak in a language that you don't know. It bypasses the conscious mind, and actually your spirit is praying. That's a wonderful way. And if you would like to have that gift, then come and talk to one of us afterwards and we'll see whether God might give it to you. And here's a little phrase that we got from the author. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. In other words, talking to God doesn't involve complex language. It's realistic, and keep going. Do it regularly. Have a habit. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. It doesn't have to be in a special tone of voice either. There are some Christian groups where there's a special tone of voice where people adopt in prayer that's very impressive. But I don't think we do that very much in our fellowship. But that's all right. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. Listening to God. There's a quote from Mother Teresa. God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer. Listening. So, be quiet before God. What does the verse say? Be still and know that I am God. And remember Elijah when he was having his great midlife crisis. And he was hiding in a cave for his life. And there was a storm, and there was a thunder, and there was a fire, wasn't there? And there was a great mighty wind. And then, after all that, he heard God's voice, still small voice, sound like a gentle blowing. He was listening for something quiet. So just be quiet. Breathe. I've talked about that. Slow down your breathing and imagine that each time you breathe in, you're receiving a blessing from God. don't know what the blessing is, but trust him. As I breathe in, I'm breathing in God's blessing. And it could be God's presence, God's peace, God's joy, God's love, etc. Focus on your heart. Be open. Because when we do this, sometimes an answer comes immediately and sometimes it doesn't. But sometimes an assurance comes that things are going to be okay. Or sometimes the answer comes a bit later, when I least expect it. You can use your Bible. Many, many years ago, when we had a minister called John Rowe, he taught us something called Lectio Divina, or something like that, which involves reading a Bible passage, basically, more than once, slowly, and then focusing on it, seeing what God may be saying through it. And you can do that as a group as well, and then listen to one another to what God is saying. Listening to God. Can anyone give an example of receiving something through the words of Scripture? When you've been praying and you're asking God, or you're needing God's help or God's wisdom or guidance, and a verse of Scripture has stood out to you as God's voice. Can anyone give an example of that? Because I know it's true for all of us. We don't always remember it, do we?
Someone,
Simon, yeah.
One afternoon, I had this question going around my head, and it was, what is my purpose? And I didn't realize it was God speaking until I got home, so I just prayed, Lord, what is my purpose? And the words Colossians 2:2 dropped into my head, and I thought, well, maybe that's God speaking again. So I looked, I didn't know what that verse was, but I opened the Bible at Colossians 2:2. And Stephen, would you like to read it?
Colossians 2, verse 2. It says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself.
Yes, and I believe it starts, my purpose is.
Right. Okay, yeah, because verse 1, Paul says, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for all those, and then, yes, my purpose is that their hearts may be encouraged, etc.
Yeah.
That was it. Mm. Yes, thank you, Simon. Any other scriptures that have come to life in the context of praying? It's good to dredge our memory banks, isn't it? Because oh well. Receive. This is one of my big points, is that we need to be in the posture of receiving. And I do that, again, as I say, through breathing in. As I'm receiving breath, I'm affirming that I am receiving God, I'm receiving his blessing. And we need to carry that forward. I expect God to respond. I expect God to show me the answer to what I've prayed for at some time. And I posture myself that I'm receiving it. And thank God. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayers. Thank you that you're there. Thank you that even though sometimes I don't feel you, you're still there. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that what I've just committed to you, I can trust you to look after. So that's listening to God and finally being with God. Here's a quote. God has no phone, but I talk to him. He has no Facebook, but he is still my friend. He does not have a Twitter, but I still follow him. Begin and end the day. Christine and I have a habit. There's a little book called Daily Light, which has a page for the morning and a page for the evening, every day of the year. Half a page. Yeah, half a page for the morning, half a page for the evening. Full of quotations of scripture on a particular theme. And we read aloud God's words. And in the morning I read them, because I wake up slightly earlier than Christine does, and I grab the Bible, or grab the book. And in the evening, Christine reads to me. I play a little game with myself. In the morning, I glance at the evening passages, and then when Christine reads them, I try and tell her what the references are. Dedicate every activity to him. Interesting. When I say grace with Christine, like at a breakfast or something, we say, Lord, we commit this day to you. And we got someone staying with us. She said, what do you mean when you say we commit this day to you? Interesting thought. So I said, well, it means we're thanking God for what's going to be happening. We're acknowledging that what he has brought to us is good. We're asking him to help us to deal with everything that comes. We're offering to him our skills and our abilities to respond in the way he wants. That sort of stuff. That's what I mean when I say we commit this day to you. Other people might mean something different, but interesting use of words, isn't it? Sometimes we use jargon and people don't know what we mean. We know what we mean. But beginning of every day, it's good to make that connection with God and say, Lord, thank you for this new day. I want everything to be full of you. I want to see you in what happens. And I want to respond in the way you want me to. Being with God, receive from him. We talked about receiving so much. Sabbath. The Sabbath. There's going to be a whole session on that next week. So I won't say too much about Sabbath. But I found this chapter most helpful of many of them. I think a lot of us have done. Making Sunday special. God has given us a rhythm. That's a divine rhythm of to rest one day out of every seven. And some of us don't get the benefit of that because we remain busy 7 days a week. But it's God has built that into us. Sabbath, when we take time to focus on God and on listening to God more and on laying down the things which keep us busy. So you'll have a treat next week listening to how to have Sabbaths. Something else called go on a retreat. Has anyone ever gone on a retreat? Anyone not know what a retreat is? In a battle, it's when you go backwards, isn't it? When you move back. But actually, in the Christian life, a retreat is a time that you dedicate to listening to God and being with God, often at a quiet place, like, well, funnily enough, a retreat centre. Or a conference centre. I do it on trains. Yeah, I buy a rail ticket for a long train journey and I take a journal with me and I meditate on what God's been saying and what's been happening and pray for his guidance for the future. And I'm not distracted by all the things in the house and all the things that need to be done. I'm not distracted by the scenery either, because that actually helps me to worship. Some of you, when you see trees, when I see beautiful trees and the light shining on them, especially in the morning, coming in sideways on, and in the evening, it's just beautiful. And I say to God, look, can you see that? Well, of course he can see it, but you know, that's the way I'm with God. And I sometimes see a group of three trees. And that reminds me of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I say to the Lord, look, can you see the colours on those three? And you know, actually he likes that. He enjoys that. I enjoy that. Being with God. Take him with you. Did you know that everywhere you go, you take God with you?
That's nice.
That's nice, because he's in you. You take him with you. And he takes you with him. And speak his words. And some of us are trying to become more bold in actually speaking out words with a bit more authority. So that if God puts an idea in your mind to pray for someone, you can speak it with a bit more confidence. Yeah, God's given me this word for you, and I'm going to speak it over you and declare it. And that results from time praying and being with God. We sometimes get the sense that he wants to say something through us. And finally, join with others to pray. Prayer is helped when others are with us, praying along, saying amen. And we all know that wonderful verse that says, when two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them, said Jesus. So there's something special about joining with others to pray. So I've hardly told you anything you don't know, but I've brought together a few thoughts, four aspects of prayer: talking to God, talking with God, listening to God, being with God. Being with God. Cultivate that, just enjoying the fact. I sometimes just close my eyes and take a couple of breaths, and I'm just enjoying being with God. So practicing the way, be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what you have been saying. Thank you that you are in us and with us. Thank you that you delight to hear our words. Thank you that you're listening with eagerness to hear what we're going to say to you, whether it's a request or whether it's just enjoying being with you, or whether it's thanking you for something. I pray, Lord, for each of us that you'll increase that ability to have healthy rhythms of life. Help us to carve out that time when we spend with you, listening, speaking, expecting you to reply, and using your words, the Bible, to open ourselves to you and to what you might say. So thank you, Father. As we practice the way, may we encourage one another, may we stir each other up, remind each other to do the things that make us open to you. So, Father, we commit to you again our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen.